So yesterday we began to build a picture of this sugya. Yesterday we began to put together the pieces and notice that in a number of different places in Shas, there's this recurring theme that Rishonim are taking a stand on how to define the term Sheva Al Tasa. Specifically in the world of Akira's Dav Min HaTorah, Sheva Al Tasa. What do you mean by Sheva Al Tasa? Does Sheva Al Tasa... Does it mean physically passive? And then obviously kumbase means physically active. Or does Sheva Al Tasa mean the halachic distinction? Not a question of physically am I acting or not acting, but the question is it a bitul asay or is it a violation of a los asay?
Whether you're doing it physically, whether you're being physically active, passive, irrelevant. What did we see?
So number one, we saw a rush in Nazir Daf Yitesa Beis, right? Who had said that what? That he had spoken about Baal Ta'achir, which is a law,
but a law that you violate passively. And he had said,
Baal Ta'achir is Sheva'al Tasa. That was interesting. And then we saw a Rashba. Rashba in Rosh Hashanah, as I know it. And he had said that Baal Tigra, he implied that Baal Tigra is not Sheva'al Tasa. Baal Tigra is Kumbase,
even though you're passively not blowing shofar, but that's a law. So Rabbi Chanan pointed out, you see, the Rosh thinks that's all about physical passivity. So he calls Baal Tigra, in that case, Sheva'al Tasa. While the Rashba is focused on the bitul asay. It doesn't matter whether you're physically active or physically passive. We could add a few things. Number one, we could add that the Rashba was responding to a Tosfos. Tosfos had a different approach to Baal Tigra. The Rashba was trying to prove that I'm right and you're wrong, and Baal Tigra is my proof. So Tosfos, understandably, wasn't very compelled by the Rashba's thinking, because Tosfos doesn't think that Baal Tigra is Kumbase. He's a Baal Tigra Sheva'al Tasa. Why is there a problem with Baal Tigra? Kiv Dav Tavar Sheva'al Tasa. Moreover, we saw yesterday, Tosfos and Yivamis, Rav Tzadi Yemeneiz, who spoke about Tzitzis and Kalayim. Levisha. And Tosfos is working hard on whether Levisha, whether wearing something is active or passive. Because it's all about physically passive and physically active. And Tosfos puts together Tzitzis and Shatnas. Tosfos is equally concerned with, I think Tosfos has like this equation. Well, is wearing something active or passive? Well, look at tzitzis. By tzitzis, it seems like it's passive, and by shatnas, it seems like it's active. How do we deal with that? You look at the Ramban, Rashba, Ritva, and Yivamis, and they're all silent. They don't say a word. They usually it's one of them will quote Tosfos as kasha on a given sugya. None of them quote Tosfos.
You know why?
Because they think, what do you mean? Presumably because they would say, of course,
tzitzis is a mitzvah saseh. So of course it's not wearing tzitzis is Sheva'al Tasa. With kelayim, shatnez, that's a lo saseh. So of course that's kumbase.
And then, two more points, just in terms of building this picture, and then we'll take it to the next level.
Number one, what they do say there, about Tzadia and Aleph,
certainly the Rashba and the Ritva, use the language explicitly. They say, it's Sheva'al Tasa. They say, you're not doing a mitzvah saseh. That's a Sheva'al Tasa. Oh, you're doing a lo saseh. That's a kumbase. They use the language there. They use the language of mitzvah saseh,
and mitzvahs lo saseh. says line up very, very, very neatly.
One more.
All this so far, these are all examples of passive lavan, right? You're violating a losa, say, but you're doing it passively. Like bal ta'acher, but passively. Bal tigra, but passively. Like kalayim tzitzis.
How about the reverse?
How about an active violation of a mitzvah asay? An active bitul asay. So where do you have that?
That you have in ksubas. Ksubas, daf gimel, and beis, daf dalem, and aleph. Gemara talks about a tragic, very, very tragic situation, and very, very profoundly ambivalent. Like ambivalence is when you have a mix of different emotions. So you have a collision of a chasana and a loss of relative, like a roller coaster. The Gemara that talks about Korach with the Bryce at the bottom of Gimel Beis, it's a chesubis. You have it in front of you. If you want to take a peek. You have some copies and some very half copies. You don't have to look inside. You can if you want to. Feel free to pass it around or not. There you go. Try to maintain the Tzuras Hadaf with Amid Aleph on the base. That's why there's an extra blank page. Keep everything. You'll remember Tzuras Hadaf. Very bottom of Gilman base. If you don't have it in front of you, don't worry. Kitasanya, right? There's a larger context, but for now we're just focused on this one. Right, so. The bread is baked, the meat is already, the animals are shechted, the wine is ready mixed with water, all the food is ready to go, the chasen is ready to go, none of this is going to last, this is before refrigeration, obviously. The chasen loses his father, Rachman Atzlan. Or the kala loses her mother, Rachman Atzlan. Hard to even, if you have not yet experienced the loss of a close relative, hard to imagine that. It's certainly hard to begin to wrap your head around what this looks like. About to have a chasna, and there's a loss of a parent. Wow. So what the guidance that Chazal give us is that they put the levaya aside, delay the levaya a little bit. Shtel a chuppah, let them get married, let them consummate the marriage. You'll have a chuppah, you have a bias mitzvah, and then. Afterwards, we'll have the levaya, an emotional roller coaster. Machnis in the bottom line, gimel beit. Machnis is a meis lecheder. The chasna is a kal lechupa. The chaver kadisha moves the meis into a private space, but put the meis aside. Let's put that on hold for a moment. We're not going to move ahead with the kibur just yet. Bring the chasna kal to the chupa. Again, that chupa is ein l'shar ve'ein l'tayr. How complicated that is. Ubol bias mitzvah, and the newlywed couple have tashmish uporesh, and then noeg shivas me mishnah, then shivas me avelis, and then they have yizrei chas and kalos. You're going to keep. You can have 7 days of shavu brachas. Has to be the height of ambivalence, and then you're going to have 7 days of shiva. Hard to imagine that there's a similar, somewhat more common. And maybe somewhat less confusing situation, also profoundly tragic, when a person passes away on Yom Tov. Typically, a Jew loses a relative, so there's a 7 days of avel shiva, the most intense avels. It begins fully at the kavura, whether the kavura is that day or the next day. The shiva begins, then bury the mace on Monday. So Monday is Monday afternoon, let's say. So the rest of Monday is day one. Tuesday is day two. And then the following Sunday is day seven. So the avelis runs through Sunday morning. Mixyam kukulo, you end the avelis Sunday morning after a little bit after shacharis. They sit shiva for a couple minutes after shacharis. And that's the end of the shiva, Monday to Sunday. Starting usually with the kavura. But the din is in the Maseches Moed Katan. If the kavura is on Yom Tov or on Chol HaMoed, so because it's already Yom Tov, so Yom Tov is already in place, and the Simchas Yom Tov holds off on the Avelos, and the Shiva is going to begin, for all intents and purposes, after Yom Tov. You finish Yom Tov, and then you'll have a week of Shiva, loosely speaking. So that's what Chazal seems to say here. Get married,
Now here's a chasen kala. We're going to obviously bury the nifter afterwards. As Rashi says, the top Rashi in Dalam Adal, after the chasen is completed, Yikibur is a mace miyad, you're going to bury the mace later that day. But the shiva, he's already in Shev Brachas. Shev Brachas is a personal equivalent of Yomtiv. That's the Mishnah Maseches. You don't know? This is a Bekiyas. Watch Masechet and Shas. Does the Mishnah tell us that Shiva Seimei HaMishnah for the Chasen is like a personal 7-day Mishnah Maseches? They're gone. Mishnah Maseches is gone. Kohen doesn't look at a Nega during Yomtiv, and Kohen doesn't look at the Nega. Chasen develops a Nega. You don't look at the Nega during Shiva Seimei HaMishnah because it's a regular look. Okay. So that's what the Brisa says here as well. That for the chasen, this is like a personal yom. Chasen kalat is like a personal yom tiv. So that they also wait until after the yom tiv, so to speak, this very complicated week of Shavuot brachos. So the question is that we showed him raised. So again, this is emotionally very complicated. Chazal given us advice, and the more you think about it, the more you can begin to see the emotional wisdom of Chazal's advice. Dope. You're ready to get married. Get married. You're not going to fully celebrate, but get married, and then the wedding first, and the levaya second. Complicated, but we can begin to understand. What the Rishonim raise is, leaving aside the emotional complexity for a moment, how about the halachic complexity? How does this make halachic sense? How does this make halachic sense? How are we allowing you to get married, to have a shivas and a mishta? And the sharpest question is the Bol Biel's mitzvah, telling the chasen kala to have an act of bia, which is forbidden during avelos, during shiva. So, how do we allow you to do that? But by what right do Chazal tell you, really, you're in avelos, but get married and Bol Biel's mitzvah? It's not a super violation of avelos. So there are, to simplify things a little bit, Tosos, more or less, says, look, this proves my shita. Tosos is of the opinion that avelos of shiva is totally drabanan. The whole concept of shiva doesn't appear in Chumash. The whole concept of avelos of shiva is totally drabanan. A lot of long sugyas, the third pack of Ma'akatan, about all the details of shiva, it's all drabanan, says Tosos. That's the position of Balei Tosfos. And you see, that's why Chazal could say, if we're going to lie with it, you really should be in Avelos, but go ahead and get married and Bol Biel's mitzvah, and then you'll carry on from there. Hayitachen, yeah, because Avelos is all drabanan. The Ramban, though, says, no, I think, like the Gaonim, that Avelos, the first day of Avelos, if it's a Yom Miso Kvura, Avelos Yom Rishon is Da'oraisa. That's the position of the Gaonim. And the Rambam and the Ramban and the other Chachmei Svarad agree, Avelos is the right. Not all 7 days, but the first day is the right. I said, then how you say, get married, Bol Biel's Mitzvah Porish? What does the Ramban say? What does the Ramban say? Ramban says, Subis, I think he was on Daf, was he on Daf Dal? Was he on Daf Gimel? Where was that Ramban? Gimel and Beis. Okay, so Ramban says, and his Talmidim say as well, he says, well, it's Sheval Tassim. No problem. Yesh koch b'yad chachamim lakar davim nator b'sheval Tassim. Chazal Sheval Tassim. Is there anything strange about that? Yeah, we could take a look inside. You don't have to trust me. Right? You saw inside. Some of you already saw it. The Chavrusa. The Farish. Rabban writes, is Kepirish Rashi Iker, Ramban right near the end of that piece. Yes, it is Gimel Beis, thank you. Kepirish Rashi Iker, he says, I agree with Rashi, he said that you bury the Nifter right away. So that day is a Yom Misa Ukavura, and that's when, according to Ramban, there's Avelos Daraisa, there's Yom Misa Ukavura. But, Beis did Masnim La'akar Dagan Minator B'Shev Al Tasa. But Beis did has the right to be Oker Dagan Minator B'Shev Al Tasa. So that's the answer. We're telling you to violate the Avelos, min HaTorah. He should be in Avelos. But, Yesh Koch V'Yachom L'Akadar V'Tar B'Shalat HaSa. I think it strikes you as curious about that?
I had a different point. In the opposite way, how are the rabbanon allowed to be allowed to say that you shouldn't do be enduring avelos if there's a mitzvah to if it's the rabbanon, how are
they? That's a good counterpoint. It's a good foil. How do Chazal tell, you're saying it's Shiva, it's Rabbanan. Everyone agrees that beyond the first day is Rabbanan. The fact that Chum say don't bathe, okay. The Torah allowed to bathe me Rabbanan, I can't bathe. I can't put on cream on my hand, okay. The Torah is mutter, not a chiyah, mutter. It's Rabbanan, you know. But you're saying sometimes tashrish between husband and wife is not only mutter, but at times is a mitzvah. So how do Chazal tell me to refrain? So the answer to that is, right? They're saying don't. And that raises the problem here, which is?
It feels like it's, they want you to be active as
well. Ah! Yeah. Here, Adarabha, to say to refrain, that's Takesh Shavaltasa. But here, well, I mean, Ramban says very calmly, very nonchalant, yeah, Shavaltasa. Doesn't even bother to explain. What's Shavaltasa? You go into, you walk under the chuppah? And bo bilas mitzvah, and that's a sheval tasa. What are you talking about? Sheval tasa. Ilcham maisa gonal mizeh. That's very active. What type of sheval tasa? So the answer is, it's an active violation of a mitzvah saseh. Avelos is not a lav. Discussion amongst Rishon, Rambam, Ramban, where is the pasuk? But it's a mitzvah to be misavel. Part of that mitzvah involves avoiding certain activities that we would normally do. But by avoiding those activities, you're fulfilling the mitzvah asay of avelos. So the Ramban, understandably, says that shalom lehis avel, not to practice avelos, is the sheval tase, even though it's physically active. While Tosvos, understandably, had said, no, Tosvos and Suvis had said, that would be a kum, shalola hisabel would be a kum vase, and that's why it must be that avel yom rishon is the rabban. So there, an incredible consist. There is more, but for now, there are more examples as well. But I think we've seen pretty thoroughly the point. Question, Keith.
I have two questions. When does the shloshim start in this case? When you start that?
Maybe, is that relevant to this?
Exactly.
Okay,
what was the reason why it's not an active activity?
Right, so Ramban says Shev Al Tasa, Iba is active. So the answer is, well, the Ramban understands that Shev Al Tasa doesn't have to do with whether you're active or passive. Shev Al Tasa just means a bitzla mitzvah. Avelos is a mitzvah. Even if you're doing an action, but what you're doing is not that there's a law against a lav against simcha, not that a lav against tashrish, is a mitzvah avelos. And by engaging in this behavior, you're being mevatel, the mitzvah avelos. So Rabban Raj Ritva consistently understand that in Rosh Hashanah, and in Yevamos, and in Ksubas, they consistently always understand that, and Brachas also, we're not going there now, but they always understand that Shev Al Tase means a bitzel asay. While Tosfos, the Valya Tosfos, including the Rosh, in Nazir and Rosh Hashanah, in Nazir and Ksuvas, they always assume, no, it means literally active and passive. Now, so that's the question that I suggest to you of what? That was question number one. Is what? What is Sheval Tasa? This other question you might ask is why? Well, why is it that Chazal have the right to be Oker Davar B'shev al tasa, but not b'kum vaseh? Or, it's a parallel sugya some of you saw in Brachas, that kavod abrios, if there's a severe issue of human dignity, you have the right to violate the halacha, b'shev al tasa, but not b'kum vaseh. Why are we more mako on, but let's stick for now to Akira's dug. Why are Chazal have the right to tell me I could violate b'shev al tasa, but not that I could violate b'kum vaseh? So there are two ways to think about it. One way to think about it is yeah, look, I have a dindaraisa. I would have guessed, we all guessed last week, like Rabba,
Right? Chista said, Chazal the right to undo Din Daraisa and making Din Rabbanan. I think we all did guess. Like, Rabbi, no, Chazal can't undo the Din Daraisa. They're not God. The Din Daraisa is Din Daraisa. They just work around it. So, one way, so I would have thought Chazal can never be Oker Dava. So, one way to understand Shaval Taha says, look, there are big Daraisas and there are small Daraisas. Right? Not all Daraisas are created equal. Right? For instance, there's Avodah Zarah Gilui Shvichas Davim, that's the most chamor of all. And he even takes on Pikuach Nefesh. And there are other things which don't take on Pikuach Nefesh, but if you violate, it's a Chi of Misa, Shabbos. The chiyuvei misa, that's very severe. Isurei karis, that's very. And then there are things which are less severe. So one way of understanding when do Chazal oker when not is to say, look, they can't. I would have thought Chazal cannot undo anything daraisa. The Gemara tells me a chiddush, they can undo the lower level din daraisa, the heavy din daraisa, the dvarim chamur that they can't touch. But they have the power to undo a low-level din daraisa. What's a low-level din daraisa? Mitzvah saseh. Violating mitzvah saseh is a lower level than violating mitzvah lo saseh. How do I know? Well, number one, lo saseh often have various punishments that saseh don't, like misa or malchus. Mitzvah saseh don't have that. Number two, the Ramah tells me in Yardis and in Kufn and Zayin that... let's say a Jew is in Siberia. Jew is in Siberia. The Russians aren't letting him do mitzvahs. And there aren't. What's here to do? He wants to have matzah. Where's he getting matzah from? Where's he getting esrog from? Where's he getting a lulav from? Where's he getting tefillin from? So he doesn't really have access to it, but he could bribe one of the guards, and the guard will get him a peritol. So should you do that? So the din is, depends what the price is. If I have six cigarettes were at the time, that was essentially the currency in Siberia. So here you have this Jew who has six cigarettes in his pocket. So he goes over to the guard and says, I'll give you a cigarette if you give me tefillin. So that the din is, you should do that. But if the guard says, I want two cigarettes, then you say, no, nothing doing. Why? Because Shurama quotes that you have to be willing to spend up to 1/5 of your assets in order to be Mekayim Mitzvah Daraisa. See, here you have this Jew. What's his net worth? Six cigarettes. That's what he's got in his pocket. So one cigarette is less than 1/5 of his assets. Two cigarettes is more. So for a mitzvah, it says in Simkun Kufnun Zayin Yerideya, for a mitzvah, I say I have to be willing to spend up to 1/5 of my assets, 20%, in order to Mekayim Mitzvah Daraisa. More than that, not Mechuyev. While to avoid eating treif, to avoid a lav, a Jew has to be ready to spend kol hon beso, the Ramah says. Be willing to give away all your assets in order to avoid a lav. So you see, those are two examples, two indications, that a lav is more chamur than an asay. So one way of thinking about the question of why Shaval Taz is different than Kumbasay. So one way I could say it is they could be oker, Chazal can be oker, a davar kal, but not a davar chamor. Another way of saying it is that they're not oker anything. Chazal can be oker, didn't they? I said, what type of idea is that? No. Rabbi Chanan says, maybe the other way of thinking about it is they're not oker anything. They can't be. Oh, they can't change the daraisa. You know what they could do? What do Chazal have the right to do? Make new din drabanan. They can't undo, but they can create new legislation. So you have a. So one way of thinking about it is, Chacham came along and said, "We're taking away shofar. It's only a mitzvah. We canceled it. We can't cancel heavy duty din, but Shevat Tas, a lower level that we can cancel. The other way of looking at it is, we don't cancel anything. We just make more rules." You already have a mitzvah to blow shofar. Now we make a mitzvah, don't blow shofar. If I make a new rule, don't blow shofar on Shabbos. So now, Hananel and Max and Eitan and Eitan and Eitan and Elisha and every individual Jew now has a dilemma.
the next time Shabbat Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, now I'm stuck. What do I do? On the one hand, I have a mitzvah to blow shofar. On the other hand, I have a mitzvah not to blow shofar. Chachamim, that's approach number two, is Chachamim stuck every Jew with a dilemma. A personal, individual dilemma. So what do you do when you're stuck? Well, one of the rules is, if you're darned if you do and darned if you don't, if either way you're going to violate something, better to be passive. Shev al tasa adam. That's one of the rules of negotiating halachic conflicts. It's not the only rule. One of the rules is better to violate the din passively than to violate the din actively. Oh. Now, so those are two interesting, right? This first approach is saying Chazal are actually being oker the din daraisa. The other approach is saying they're not being oker anything. They're just creating new legislation that every individual Jew, has to sheval tasa adiv through the dilemma. Are they actually being oker for only dvarim kalim? They're not being oker anything. They're just setting me up for sheval tasa adiv. Now, Rabbi Chanan deals with this separately. He doesn't put the pieces together. Rabbi Rosenzweig, 21 years ago, pointed out to me, though, that they correspond beautifully. Because if it's about being oker dvarim kalim, well, what makes something lower level or higher level, as I mentioned to you before, is mitzasei versus mitzaslosasei. The reason why you would think that Chazal can be oker an asei but not a losasei is because it's actually an akira. This corresponds to mitzasei versus losasei. It's a lower level. Mitzasei is kal. Mitzaslosasei is chama. Chazal the right to be oker mitzvasei. They don't have the right to be oker mitzvasei. But if you think Chazal aren't being oker anything, they're just setting me up to then say sheval tasa adiv, better to vide the halacha passively than actively, then it actually has to do with physical passivity. There's more to say, but I'll end with this. If I discover the Aruch, if you look at that Aruch, he puts all of this together. Because he says, Rav Haigon said that Sheval Tasa has to do, if you read him slowly and carefully, Sheval Tasa has to do with Mrs. Asay versus Mrs. Los Asay. And he says because that's Kal and Chazal are Dochet. Chazal are Okerit. And that's the position of Rav Haigon. Vado. And then he quotes in Magensa, which is a very ancient community in Ashkenaz, they said physical passivity. And he does not use a terminology of kal. In other words, Aruch puts it all together. The question of what corresponds to the question of why, and the Svardim are rooted in Gaonei Bavel, the Ashkenazim are rooted in the Kadmonim of Ashkenaz. It's all very neat. Tomorrow we'll put it all tied up with a bow in terms of Shofar of Schlesinger and our circuit.